From the All-Ireland Business Foundation, this is Elaine Carroll bringing you AIBF Business Talk. AIBF is an independent national body tasked with enterprise development and the promotion of best-in-class businesses as business all-stars. Today, I catch up with Sarah McLaughlin and Paul Hickey of Pilates Performance, All-Ireland All-Star Pilates Studio of the Year 2021. Sarah founded her business 25 years ago after struggling with back problems and was desperate to find a solution. 25 years on, Sarah is a second generation Pilates master and educator. Her husband Paul completes the ideal partnership by ensuring technology, systems and procedures are adopted, thereby preparing the business for its next phase of growth. And Paul, thank you so much for joining me today on AIBF Business Talk. Sarah, Pilates is, you know, I won't say a hobby, but it's something that I've dipped my hand in a few times, especially during pregnancy. Can you just tell us more about the work, the great work that you're doing at Pilates Performance?
Well, where do I start? We're there so long, Elaine, and thank you for having me today. So at Pilates Performance, you know, from the time that we opened, which in Rathfarnham is now 10 years ago last month, we really wanted to cover all aspects. So we obviously do group classes on equipment and off equipment. We do a lot of clinical Pilates, so people who are pre, post-surgery, scoliosis, all sorts of pathologies. And of course, we do the education. So we certify in the full repertoire with the largest company in the world, actually, Balanced Body, is a certificate that students receive, which is very important for their career.
So you're actually very different in that you both teach Pilates, but you're also an educator of Pilates.
Yes. So, you know, when I started out in this industry over 30 years ago now, really Pilates is quite unknown. It was just becoming a bit more mainstream in America around that time. So my initial goal was really to make it mainstream, to reduce the cost. It was all the stars doing it in America and paying hundreds and thousands of dollars. And I wanted to make it available to everybody. Just one slight step back. When I certified in this industry, I suffered from a lot of back pain and muscular skeletal issues. And I realized quite quickly that I actually couldn't do aerobics. And of course, that was the boom at the time. And so I designed a class that was, I'd say it was not dissimilar to Pilates, but by no means, I'm not joking, Pilates. But it was a slow moving exercise program. And Elaine, I was inundated with people. And so when I was introduced to Pilates, this to me was the aha moment. This is what I want. And so I wanted to bring that to Ireland and make it available to everybody. And so that was my first challenge. The other thing that I really wanted to do back then was to bridge the gap between sort of the medical industry and the fitness industry. And of course, today, you know, some people may believe that that was never the case, but it was, because today your surgeon, your physiotherapist, they're all referring you to Pilates. So it's very commonplace today. It's very, very normal. And of course, following that, we needed teachers in Ireland. And so I started, I became a Pilates educator about 18 or 19 years ago with another American company, and then Balanced Body opened up their education department and invited me to be their educator for the island of Ireland. So now we had hundreds of students going through. It's amazing. Some people changing careers completely or coming back to the workforce after having their family. I've met some of the most interesting people with the most interesting of backgrounds. And so they then started going into the industry, and over the last probably 5 years or so, more and more of them are opening up their own studios. I mean, many corners of Ireland now, you're going to find a Pilates studio. So the growth is amazing.
Absolutely.
So that was really, really exciting. And now, you know, we're looking at it again, the next step. So we've seen the problems, if you like. You know, the work-life balance, the how to pull the whole business together. Obviously, it's not just about teaching Pilates. The customers are there, but all the work that goes on behind and getting yourself set up, getting the equipment in Ireland, all of that. And so now we are working on the franchise model. So we're really excited about that as well.
So to go from your own personal experience, you know, in your own pain side of things, and you finding a solution for that, realizing, hang on here, you know, there could be something more in this. So it's not just a hobby, or it's not just a treatment or a therapy I'm doing for myself. There could be a whole business behind it. So when you come to that stage and that realization, you know, and you're teaching the Pilates, to bring it to a business model side of things, there's a whole other back end that goes behind it. And that's where there's a unique business partnership here between yourself and Paul, which made that happen.
Yeah.
Paul, can you tell us a little bit about, I suppose, the back end behind Pilates Performance and how technology and systems have been a real enabler to get it to where it is today?
Yes, Elaine, I suppose I've been involved now for, I think, about 8 years. And, you know, I don't have a Pilates background. I certainly don't teach it. I do the classes and they help keep me in shape. My background is very much in the corporate background, in the hospitality business services sector, at director level for a multinational FTSE 100 company. When I first got involved, though, I have to say, and I think Sarah would agree, in the business, I remember thinking, this doesn't seem like a business to me. And it felt like a group of people who were very passionate about their Pilates and exercise. And I'm talking about, you know, in our particular business, the staff, but there didn't, to me, it just didn't seem like a business. So, and I think I got a lot of pushback from staff. I remember people saying, God, it's not very corporate around here. It's kind of, but I think what I did is I brought, a degree of corporate governance, if you like, to it in terms of writing a standard operating procedures manual, systemizing and really leveraging the technology which is emerging. And, you know, we're a partner and I'm a consultant with MindBody, which is the biggest software platform in the world in health and wellness. They actually just yesterday acquired ClassPass, which is the biggest marketplace platform in exercise, and an injection of $500 million. So they're a big company. But using and leveraging that, and I also kind of, after a couple of years, reskilled myself. I was always interested in marketing, and I did a digital marketing degree. So combining that, I think, has really enhanced the business. And I think, as you say, the partnership is strong. I don't get involved in the service delivery end. Everything I do is background, it's systems, it's support, it's account management, customer support, and in particular, marketing. I mean, we're in the business, as every business are, of acquiring and retaining customers. That's what you're in business for, in my view. So that constant marketing initiatives, campaigns, acquiring new customers, and also the account managers is retaining. We have a retention rate of 95%. I suppose I'm very data-driven. I've created our own KPI dashboard, which I do every single day. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I do. So we're absolutely on top of our KPIs. We know the average transaction value, the average attendance rate per class, footfall, everything, because we can then react to it very quickly, particularly in a class-based situation where you can have 70-odd classes a day. You need to see which ones are performing and which aren't, and then make quick decisions around that. So that's so I see myself as, I suppose, an enabler in the background, but that partnership works very, very well, I think. And because, as Sarah was saying, we've seen, and I've seen, you know, students that Sarah has trained saying, yeah, and they're very passionate. Yeah, I'm going to go open a Pilates studio, and yeah, I'm brilliant at Pilates. Yeah. And they realize, oh shit, I know nothing about business. I mean, how, you know, what software should we use? How do I market it? What's my pricing architecture? How do I negotiate a lead? You know, so I think that's where it's worked for us.
Very good. So both that, you know, that delivery side and your own expertise in the Pilates side of things, the instructor and the educator side, coupled with the whole technology systems, processes and procedures, has evolved it into the business that it is today. But I have a feeling that there's an awful lot more growth on the card. So you started initially with one studio in Rathfarnham in Dublin. Where are you at now, Sarah? And where do you can see yourself going to?
So I think, you know, as Paul said there, you know, and I alluded to as well, a lot of people, I feel, not everybody, but a number of them, come into the industry thinking that it's very relaxing, it's great fun and all of that. And it is, but it is also a business. I have a legal background. As you know, I gave up law because I was so passionate about Pilates, actually. But the whole franchising concept is to make it easy and systematic for people so that they can go into this career and feel that they haven't made a mistake, that they can earn well and they can keep their passion. So really, Elaine, that is our next step, is to build and develop the franchise and make it available at least to the Irish for in the short term.
And with Paul's background in the technology side, I'm sure putting those systems and processes into place. And it's very interesting to hear as well how on top of it you are with regard to your numbers and knowing the value of your customer, but what's so important as well is the lifetime value of your customer and the retention, that it's so much more, I won't say economical, but cost effective to retain your current and existing customers. And they're more likely to refer on as well, didn't they, at the other side of things?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, we opened in Rathfarnham 10 years ago, and we still have customers that joined the first week we opened. So your customer is key. You have to look after them on a human level. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, they'll stay.
No, 100%. And I know myself, you know, everybody remembers the experience that they get when they deal, you know, with, you know, a company or a product or service provider. And it's no different in this space as well. Can I just ask you, Sarah and Paul, what's been your biggest challenge in the business and in growing the business? Especially, I suppose, the last 20 months, you know, have been like no other. How have you adapted, or how did you face those challenges?
Well, I think, if I'll start first, I think, you know, when we talk about systems and the technology, I think we were well ahead of the game. I mean, within 4 days of us shutting down in March 19th, I think it was 2020, we had pivoted and migrated all of our classes online like that. Now, you know, it was a challenge, and things went wrong, and we had to find the right, again, partner integrations, which we did. So again, it started off quite manual, even though technology based, but we're at it now where everything is automated, you know, where we have a partner. So if you book a class on our systems, you automatically get the Zoom link through Fitgrid, another partner that we have. So I think that was a challenge, but I think we rode that challenge very, very successfully. Having said that, now, as we've gone through that curve, I mean, we were having probably about 20 to 22 people per live stream online class. But since we reopened the studio, that's kind of gone down. And I think everyone was saying, yeah, you know, online exercise is here to stay. I'm becoming a bit skeptical about that now, I'd have to say, because people want the community feel of being in the class. It's very, very important. It's a huge social aspect to what we do, I think. And to your point earlier about, I can do all the greatest marketing campaigns in the world, but around, I think, 45-46% of our new clients are through referrals. So you cannot be customer advocacy. It is the number one marketing initiative if you can get that right, if you have a good product or service to sell. But just the other challenge there, I think, and Sarah will certainly go into this at length, I think, is staffing. Like a lot of companies in this particular industry sphere, sort of leisure, hospitality, I think Sarah will speak to it. It can be quite frustrating, staffing, in terms of, you know, I suppose, I don't know if it's loyalty is the word, but, you know, because...
Yeah, I think that, Elaine, the most people in the Pilates world are sole traders. And so you don't have staff, per se. And so if you want to cover classes and so on and things like that, they're often working in another studio. It's just the way it's evolved in Ireland. And yes, it is challenging because your customers get very attached to those teachers and so on and so forth. There are ways around it, and we're doing well with it at the moment. It's like your customers look after your team, obviously, as well. And we do that. But there are better ways and solutions around that we're just working out now, again, for that franchise. But I think going into the pandemic, like Paul said, I think while we were prepared with the systems, we never knew COVID was coming. What I saw a lot of was panic, and a lot of studios just panicked. So I think whenever you're in business, there has to be an element of being level-headed, and you'll, you, it's never as bad as you think. You'll always come through. So a little bit of calm, talk to your colleagues in the industry, but having the system certainly enabled us to turn things around very, very quickly.
So now that you've got, you know, quite a substantial period of time under your belts, the future is looking bright. You know, you've had ups and downs, lots of learnings along the way. You're ahead of yourselves with regard to technology. You're embracing the teacher and the educator side of things. What advice from your experience would you give to another person setting out in business?
To give me a call.
Very good. We won't ask you to divulge your number live.
I think one of the things that I always say, because I'm asked this question a lot, is to sit down and work out, what do you want? Do you want a small studio that you are the 100% teacher for the next 10 years? Or do you want a studio with a bigger vision where you're going to have to hire staff and things like that? That is the number one thing that trips people up, in my experience. But they have lots of questions, Elaine. We could be here for hours going through this. But that would be my one number one advice is to figure out what you want from this. And I suppose one other thing I would say as well is, get the technology in place from day one. When the minute we opened the doors, we had Mindbody, which was a young company at the time. Get your systems in place and, you know, the plan is ready and go from there, because you won't follow the plan exactly, but at least you've got one and you'll be prepared for things, hopefully not COVID again. But yeah.
One thing I'd add to that, Elaine, is, and I say, you know, in my digital marketing business, a number of clients, and I'm always saying this, I'm doing it for them, but I'm clients in 9 different jurisdictions around the world, but know your numbers, your KPIs. We provide, and I provide for clients, a daily dashboard, you know, where you're measuring what are the key components of your business and staying on top of it. You know, there's no point in saying at the end of a quarter, oh, why didn't we make any money? You know, I want to know at the end of the day why we didn't make any money, so you can react to it. And that's being on top of your business. And you know, being a very data-driven, I think that's hugely important. But a lot of small businesses miss that, you know, because they're caught up in the operational end of their business and looking after their customers, etc. But, you know, there are fairly straightforward things you can put in place in terms of managing KPIs with the right systems. Again, we seem to always go back to systems, but you know, good businesses are based on good systems. But my advice is KPIs, know what they are, identify what your KPIs and measure them every day.
Very good. Great advice, Paul, there. You know, every business, no matter what, to know your numbers. And it's only when you know your numbers, and not just you, but once they're communicated down to your team and to your staff, that they all understand the value of the numbers, you know, that it makes a huge difference. So Sarah and Paul, it's you know, it's been fantastic chatting with you, but I have a feeling there's great things in store. The combination of your passion, your enthusiasm, I won't say your blueprints now, but also the technology side. I think is there a mission here to bring this to maybe a more structured model going forward with regard to franchising? What are your plans?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to obviously remove the things that we feel are too challenging or complex. I mean, really, with the franchising, I think we would like to simplify it for the business owner and make it profitable and enjoyable, just as Pilates should be. But again, it is a business, Elaine. We can't get away from that. They need to earn money and so on and so forth. We're working away at this franchising concept now, and hopefully it will be here sooner rather than later. We'll keep you posted.
And it's no wonder that your great ethos has been recognised by the All-Ireland Business Foundation and the Business All-Stars, in particular with regard to your whole lifetime achievement in this area. Can I just ask, what does it mean to you being recognised at that level?
Oh, it means so much. Hard to put into words. I'm a very, well, both Paul and I, we're quiet workers. We're not, you'll never see us sort of bragging on any social media. So we work quietly behind the scenes. So for somebody to find and recognize what we've done without us shouting out how fabulous we are, was really, really amazing. We're really, really honored. I'm really, really honored because I've put in a lot of work. I've enjoyed every minute of it. But for somebody to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, well done, here's an award from All-Star, was a bit jaw-dropping. I didn't expect it. So absolutely thrilled to bits. Thank you very much.
The value alone that you place on your customers, which is so important, because it's your customers that drive your numbers, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Absolutely.
And business for your customers and to inquire customers, yes, as you mentioned there, Paul. So it all comes back to the values behind it. So now, folks, I'm just going to lift the bonnet of the car for a little minute and get to know you both maybe a little bit personally. So I'm just going to fire out a couple of questions and don't think too long and too hard. So maybe, Sarah, if you answer first, followed by Paul, so you can race each other to it. If I'd ask you, Sarah, what's your most treasured possession?
I love my jewellery, my earrings and my rings. Very passionate about jewellery.
There's a hint for you, Paul.
But believe me, I've known the hint for a long time. Yeah, it's been very costly. For me, it's my blender and my milk frother. But, you know, I have to have my smoothie every morning and I have to have a nice froth coffee every morning. Couldn't live without them, you know. Houses, cars, all that you can do without. You can't do without your blender and your milk frother.
Good stuff. Hey, Sarah, if you could send any bit of advice back in time to your 20-year-old self, what wisdom would you share?
I would say just keep going. Keep going at what you're doing. I think you can lack in confidence at any age. And then when you come to success, it's not the end of the road, but you realize it was, the journey was just amazing. So again, keep going and keep on that journey.
How about yourself, Paul? Anything to add? What wisdom would you share with yourself?
For me, and it's, I suppose, somewhat topical now, but when we look back at it, I would say to my younger self, get on the property ladder as quickly as you can. And, you know, I think, so I certainly had opportunities, but it's not that important to you when you're 20 or 21. But I think it's sinking in with younger people now, you know. I mean, I know it's not easy, but, you know, do whatever you can to secure that, because it gives you a bit of a bedrock in life to develop from, I think, that kind of an investment. So that's what I would say to my younger self, were he still alive.
Very good. Sarah, tell us something that most people wouldn't know about you.
Wouldn't know about me?
Wouldn't know.
Oh, gosh, I'm quite open. I'm very, very quiet. I'm a very, very quiet person. And I think some people may not see that because I'm always standing in front of an audience teaching a class or a conference or something. But yeah, I'm a very quiet, quite introverted, private person.
Very good. And yourself, Paul?
What wouldn't know about? I suppose, well, I think some people may know this, but I'm passionate about rugby. I coach underage. I've coached one of my sons since he was 6. He's now 15. My other son got really involved in it. So that's a big passion, though. A lot of people know that. And one of my proudest moments is I was All-Ireland under 16, 800 metres champion when I was 15 or something years old. So not many people would know that. And I actually forgot about it until recently. But I still have the medal somewhere in the attic, I think.
Very good. That's something for sure to be very proud of. Yeah. Sarah and Paul, maybe to say the two of you are together, you're hosting a dinner party. You can invite four people between the two of you. So choose two each. Sarah, what two would you choose?
Family members. I'm very, very close to my two brothers and my mother. My father, unfortunately, passed away a number of years ago from Alzheimer's. So it would have to be three for me, Elaine, my mother and my two brothers, definitely.
And Paul, who would you add to the mix?
I think I would expand that a little bit. I mean, were we still alive, I think Steve Jobs would be an interesting person to have at the dinner table. And also, I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan, so I would certainly invite him to play a few tunes in the background. So I think that would be an interesting.
I haven't got their phone number, so Elaine, it's going to be just family for me.
We'll find them. I wouldn't mind meeting the boss myself.
Now, if I get Warren Buffett over, if I had his number, I'd invite him too.
And his investment as well.
Exactly.
Go global straight away, think no more. So just to leave ourselves on one thing, if you had a motto to share, what would that be?
If I had a motto, it really would be just keep going. Keep going. I think, you know, I don't have enough money. I don't have the confidence. Everybody's telling me I can't do this. I think you've got to have trust and confidence in your own belief. You know, we know that kids, they think they can fly, they can do anything and everything. And unfortunately, life is set up intentionally or not, to limit us. And we learn that, our brain learns that, it becomes a habit to say, I can't. And I think that's probably one of the most destructive things. I have always in my career said I can, and I've always been a little outside of the box. So have the confidence and just go for it. Yes, you can.
Brilliant. Yes, you can. That's it. Sums it up in one line. Yes, you can. How about yourself, yeah. Paul?
I think there's probably two things that resonate with me. One, given the recent history that we've had, and I think it might be Churchill who said it, in every crisis, there is opportunity. I think that yeah. I've seen that in recent times, and, on both sides, because whilst the Pilates business has suffered having to close down, the digital marketing business has thrived for the very reason that people wanted to get online quickly. But I also go back to, I think, one of the brilliant people that I've worked for, I'm sure you, your audience will know, is Patrick Campbell, Beauties. I worked for Beauties for a long time, was in part of their development team and set up the Beauties Hotel. But I remember him saying to us once, which always stuck with me, is whenever a customer complains to you, thank them, because they're giving you the opportunity to improve your business.
Absolutely.
And that's always resonated with me, that you should be open to feedback, to criticism if necessary, because that gives you the opportunity to say, right, how can we do this better? That's yeah. always stuck with me. So that would be kind of the motto I would yeah. have.
Yeah, we've always had a great one. Sorry, Elaine. We've always had a policy with Pilates Performance that if we get a complaint by email or whatever, pick up the phone, one of us, because they want to hear from an owner, they want to hear that they have been heard, and we do. We pick up the phone. And we're always grateful for comments, complaints, whatever you want to call them, because Paul's absolutely right. That is where we have learned to be as good as we are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Paul and Sarah, it's been an absolute pleasure and inspiration talking to you. I definitely think that pregnancy Pilates seed has been redropped into my mind. I feel like it could serve me very well at the stage that I'm at. But I really have great admiration for you and the business sense and growth, the drivers behind the business. And I can see a very, very bright and successful future for Pilates Performance. Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for having us. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to AIBF Business Talk today. I really do hope you enjoyed listening in. To find out more about the All-Ireland Business Foundation and the work that we do, especially the Business All-Stars programme, just go to www.aibf.ie. Remember, never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Until next time, from your host, Elaine Carroll. Goodbye.